The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. It will be a bitterly cold caucus day tomorrow in Iowa.
As Iowa kicks off the presidential nominating season, caucus goers better bundle up.
We have a high temperature of 1 degree on Monday.
Chad Hahn is with the National Weather Service.
Though with fresh snowpack, we're expecting those actually may be on the high side, so we may not warm above 0 degrees.
But Iowa Republican Party Chairman Jeff Kaufman isn't worried. He says Iowa is the heartland, and he's still expecting strong voter turnout.
Although it may be a little uncomfortable, it will not be a deterrent to attendance.
Greg Clugston, Washington.
Much of the country does remain in the grips of that major blast, sending record low temps even into parts of the Deep South, and extremely heavy snowfall in the Great Lakes over to Buffalo, New York. This is SRN News.
Dennis Prager isn't sure he recognizes his country.
University of Chicago reports that 30 million Americans believe violence is justified to keep Trump from the presidency. It's one out of every 10 of my fellow Americans. To think that I share this country with such people is difficult.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at 11 on AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio.
Sign up for your chance to win the Healthy You, Healthy Family sweepstakes. From Kim Dolan-Leto, just visit am1280thepatriot.com. It's a $5,000 healthy grand prize. Year gym membership, $2,000 worth of fitness equipment, $500 Whole Foods gift cards, and so much more. It's am1280thepatriot.com. From the Genovations Regen Weather Center, cloudy skies this evening, low of 9 below. Monday, partly sunny with a high around zero.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan, here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back of hour number two of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks, as always, for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here to take a phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag NARNshow. That's hashtag NARNshow for comments or questions. And if you'd like to follow us on Facebook, feel free to do so. Just do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network on Facebook. And give our page a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And like I say, view the live stream of the broadcast, which we have up and running. So again, we've had our good friend Wild Wilson as well as Brent. Weighing in on our comments section. Gentlemen, good to see you. Brent was asking a question earlier about, he's asking, I've eaten at the Nook. Does that count? The Nook, I know the Nook. It's in the pretty much in the shadows of Creighton Durham Hall High School. I think he's asking if that means he's 1 degree separation from Maurer, 2 degree separation from Joe Maurer because he's eaten at the Nook. Brent, I'm gonna grant it. I'll allow it because you can't tell me that Joe Maurer has never eaten there and that the proprietors of said restaurant don't know him. So if you've ever talked to anybody that's run the joint, I think that puts you in the category of a couple degree separation, Joe Maurer. For what that's worth, Brent, I'll allow it. So so I appreciate you gentlemen chiming in today. Thanks so much for the support. As we've heard on SRN News, and we've been kind of talking about, the Iowa caucus is upon us. Is it? It's going to take place this Tuesday. And I've been saying leading up to it that even if Donald Trump does not win the Iowa caucus, it's hardly a death knell to his campaign. It won't even be a deterrent. Now, of course, he and his performative leg humpers will scream fraud that if they lose, okay, and allege some sort of fraud if they lose, because they can't accept defeat, as we saw in 2020. But even if he were to lose, and I don't think he's going to lose in Iowa on Tuesday, it's not going to make a difference. I think it's all over but the crying. As Dave Wasserman says on, Dave Wasserman, who writes for the Cook Political Report, and follow Dave Wasserman on Twitter at Redistrict. He has a saying when he's following elections on election night. Once he gets the results that he thinks he can project out to who the winner is, he always says, "I've seen enough. So-and-so is the winner of whatever election." So, again, Redistrict, at Redistrict, is Dave Wasserman's Twitter handle. So definitely follow him at that site if you want to keep your finger on the pulse for all election insights. So really what it boils down is we finally got the field whittled down to two viable non-Trump candidates in Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. And this is something that I was lamenting back in 2016 when Trump was basically lapping the field. It's like, look, these candidates like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and John Kasich and Jeb Bush and Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson, they got to come together and coalesce behind one of the non-Trump entities. Because the sooner they do that, the better chance you'll have of taking on Trump head to head. Now, ultimately, as we look back, that probably wouldn't have done any good. But at the time, that was the only way, that was the only shot you had to defeating Trump. Because all these other guys, like the dorky John Kasich and Rubio and Cruz and Bush and Fiorina, they were just beating up on each other. And Ted Cruz put forth an 11th hour effort by making Carly Fiorina his running mate, were he to be the nominee, and hey, Carly Fiorina will be my running mate. You know, it was kind of a Hail Mary. Obviously didn't work. And so basically the field this time around, 8 years later, has done what they should have done in 2016. But even though they've winnowed the field down to two non-Trump candidates, it's not going to do any good. I think it's mainly because Nikki Haley has spent so much time and resources attacking Ron DeSantis instead of going after Trump, who's been the front runner. I mean, DeSantis had a slight edge over Trump because he got a re-election bounce, because in November of 2022, Ron DeSantis was really the only Republican nationwide that he and Governor Brian Kemp were the only governors nationwide. Didn't I say the Iowa caucus was Tuesday? I apologize. A caller called in and said the Iowa caucus is Tuesday. Is Monday not Tuesday? Is that right? It is? That doesn't make sense. Well, whatever. It's this week. We aren't Iowans, so whatever the case. But so I apologize if indeed I gave the wrong day. Wasn't trying to be intentional. You know, some people joke around, hey, election day is Tuesday, and for Democrats, it's Monday, you know, that sort of thing. I wasn't trying to do that, so I apologize if that were the case. But either way, that's not the point of what I'm trying to make here. So the Republicans effectively have done what they should have done in 2016, is winnow down the field to viable non-Trump candidates. But the problem is, I don't think it's going to do any good. And yeah, results of the Iowa caucus are expected tomorrow around 7:45, according to the Associated Press. So my apologies for the error. So yes, Iowa caucus tomorrow. Results should be around 7:45. And again, Trump looks like he's going to win handily. So now the question becomes, what happens after Tuesday? Because that was really the only chance Ron DeSantis had of scoring an early victory. He's never been a factor in New Hampshire. Basically, that looked like a battle for second place between Nikki Haley and Chris Christie early on. Well, Chris Christie's out of the race, and New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu has endorsed Nikki Haley, but Trump has always had a huge lead in that state as well. So basically, what happens after tomorrow night if Trump indeed wins by 30-plus points? This is from Rich Lowry at National Review, a piece he wrote just this afternoon. Is no one is winning the DeSantis-Haley war. And he says, well, that's an overstatement since Haley has overtaken DeSantis in the polling, even in Iowa, and he's much more likely to have to drop out before she does. In fact, might have to drop out on Tuesday if he does indeed finish third. But the Des Moines Register poll mentioned earlier isn't terribly encouraging for either of these candidates who have been kicking the hell out of each other. The favorable ratings for both of them have gone down. Haley is barely above water at 48 favorable and 46 unfavorable. That's down from 53-26 in August, a huge drop. DeSantis is still popular at 58-36, but that's down from 66-29 in December and 69-26 in October. Haley is ahead in the ballot test, but she's strongest among independents and Democrats, which is not a formula for winning Iowa or the nomination. Meanwhile, DeSantis is at 16% in the poll, a dreadful result. Usually when two candidates go to war and hurt each other in a multi-candidate field, it creates an opening for someone else to come up the middle. But that happens when the warring candidates are at the top of the field. In this case, of course, both Haley and DeSantis are running badly behind the front runner. Donald Trump doesn't need to come up the middle because he's already up and already occupies the middle, winning almost among every demographic group in Iowa. In short, the fight in Iowa between Haley and DeSantis has been for second and assures whoever gets second will be quite dinged up, not just by Donald Trump, but by the third place finisher. So deep-seated is this dynamic that the DeSantis campaign apparently thinks it's going to carry through South Carolina. Here's an AP headline from the other day. DeSantis plans to go from Iowa to South Carolina instead of New Hampshire as he targets Haley. All this said, it's understandable that DeSantis and Haley have ended up at war. The DeSantis energy that was that he'd established his strength among MAGA-ish voters and the non-Trump voters would have no choice but to come to him after the other candidates fall away. The emergence of a candidate, namely Haley, who gained a strong hold on those non-Trump voters, has been a strategic debacle. As for Haley, second place in Iowa could, in theory, help in New Hampshire, and if DeSantis has to quit, it gives her a one-on-one fight with Trump that maybe, just maybe, changes the dynamic of the race. So the sources of the battle aren't irrational, but it's been enervating and harmful to both candidates as Trump, except in New Hampshire, continues to romp. Maybe Iowa can still surprise us tomorrow, but it's looking like Trump's race with DeSantis-Haley contention only having made that a little more likely. And yeah, that all seems to track and be accurate. And people were, you know, dinging DeSantis. Oh, DeSantis, he's a terrible campaigner. He's just imploded. What the heck's wrong with him? And the answer is nothing's wrong with him. He's showing competent governance in Florida. He made a lot of incredible progress in Florida, stemming the tide of economic catastrophe that other states saw during the pandemic. And he's helped them through several natural disasters. I mean, hurricanes happen on an annual basis down there. Some are stronger than others. And the way that he's been able to mobilize response teams to hurricanes are in large part why he cleaned up in his 2022 reelection bid for Florida governor. You had traditional non-Republicans voting for DeSantis. His popularity was across the board. But as we saw in 2016, competent governance doesn't seem to matter to current day Republicans. Because when Scott Walker got in the race in 2016, we saw the incredible progress and reforms that he made in Wisconsin. You know, overhauling the public employee unions there, did a terrific job. And I was excited for his candidacy. And he never got any traction. And I remember thinking back then, 8 years ago, how is it that someone who's had incredible policy success like Scott Walker, who was still relatively young, I don't even think he was quite 50, maybe he was 50 back in 2016, how is it that he's just so quickly swept aside for this obnoxious, blundering orange maniac? How does that happen? And I find myself asking the same question all over again. How is it that strong, substantive, competent governance takes a back seat to maniacal bluster? And we'll come back in the next segment and talk a little bit more about that. And take your phone calls as well, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show. Or check out the Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. Brad Carlson back with another segment on the broadcast in mere moments. Go nowhere.
Safe in bed, it was all about dream spinning.
If you can snap your fingers, you can find this radio station. Your smartphone is now your smart radio. There are no limitations on where you can find us. We're always on. It's liberty and truth through your smart speaker. Just say, play Freedom Radio, Minneapolis.
Extreme pro-abortion laws, increasing abortions in Minnesota. How do we protect unborn children and their mothers? Join thousands of Minnesotans for the MCCL March for Life on January 22nd at the state capitol. Learn more at mccl.org. Paid for by Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-901-5563. 800-901-5563. 800-901-5563. That's 800-901-5563.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog with an important message. Before you think about buying counterfeit products, think again. You're smart, buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older. But it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
Join the Patriot Freedom Fan Club for prizes, contests, quizzes, and more. Plus, get exclusive access to pre-sale tickets to events. It's free to join. So visit AM1280ThePatriot.com today.
I don't think you want to see me dance. Hey, welcome back. AM1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Me, Brad Carlson. Thanks for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. Get us away in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N show for comments or questions. And yeah, we still have the live stream of our broadcast up and running. So go to the Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. Like I said, give us a like or a follow if you haven't done so already. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. You know, talking a lot about 2016 lately, I find myself, you know, like I talked about in the first segment, how I was lamenting back then how these six other seemingly viable non-Trump candidates in 2016 couldn't decide who would drop out and then coalesce behind one specific candidate to take it to Trump one-on-one. And again, in retrospect, looking back, I don't think that would have ended up working anyways. But what they were doing sure as heck wasn't working either, especially the dorky John Kasich staying in. He was one of the last candidates to stay in, which he was such a non-entity that him staying in was ridiculous, but he did anyways, so whatever the case. And yet, the Republicans did what they should have done in 2016, i.e. winnow down the field to just a couple of viable non-Trump candidates, but it looks like it's not going to do any good. And I get it. Even though Trump is not an incumbent, he's kind of looked at as a de facto incumbent because, let's face it, he was the last Republican president, and that was just a few years ago. So I understand that the dynamic, but he's not an incumbent. So this idea that people shouldn't have been running against him because it's Trump's time, they need to wait their turn. You can go pound sand if that's your sentiment, because Trump lost in 2020. So to me, it's fair game. And yes, Trump did lose. I know some of you still have trouble accepting the 2020 results, but they are what they are. Well, one of the things that I recall from 2016 and I forget who said it, but it was such a brilliant line. They basically said, you know, Donald Trump is basically a YouTube comment section in human form, because he just says these things that you would, these crazy maniacal things that you would see in a YouTube comment section. And yet he never suffered in the polls. And that's when I started becoming a prolific user of hashtag nothing matters, because whenever you'd link to a story of some crazy, moronic, idiotic stuff, crazy, just crazy stuff that Trump would say, I would just do hashtag nothing matters, because he would never suffer in the polls. I mean, he would say in one day something that would get presidential candidates of yesteryear drummed out of their respective races. And yet it never impacted him whatsoever. Hence Teflon Don. I know that was formerly reserved for John Gotti, but it worked with Trump. And the one area that continues to stupefy me, now I get it. You got the Trump cultists who are just going to dutifully fall along with whatever Trump says. I mean, because Vivek Ramaswamy was basically nothing more than a glorified Trump surrogate, even though he was technically running for president on the GOP ticket 2024. He was nothing but a glorified Trump surrogate, let's be honest, because he wanted to performatively hump the president's leg as opposed to running a campaign, a viable campaign for president. Well, now, because he said something, concocted some theory about how the Haley campaign is attempting to take on Trump one-on-one by taking DeSantis out of the race, now all of a sudden Donald Trump turned his gun, metaphorically speaking, on Vivek. So my point is, it doesn't matter how loyal or how deep in the circle you've been with Trump, he'll eventually turn the gun on you if you don't pay complete fealty to him. But it's always a one-way street. Always a one-way street. And I say that to say his COVID revisionism. He took steps to shut down the country in 2020. And again, I didn't necessarily think that was a bad thing, because this was a virus that was so unknown and unprecedented, and the things it was doing that seemed at the time the most prudent thing. But about a month or two in the pandemic, you had governors, particularly Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, start to ease restrictions within their state. And Trump gaslights and says, well, DeSantis, you know, he calls him DeSantis, DeSantis shut down his state. Well, I was all for freedom. He's gaslighting. So cut number one, Spencer, here is a question Trump got out of town hall the other day about if he'd ever shut down the country again during the pandemic. And he said, well, no, I wouldn't. And then you have various sound clips from the 2020 campaign where he was basically bragging about the fact that he took extra precautions and shut things down that he deemed necessary. So, Spencer, we have it ready. Cut number one.
Would you ever allow a shutdown in the future?
You're talking about a COVID shutdown?
Correct.
No, I wouldn't. And I never did.
We did the right thing. We closed the country down.
I could have kept it open. And I could have done what some countries are doing.
I had to shut it down. We did the right thing.
Florida did shut down. Ron DeSantis shut down.
We're in a place called Florida, and we have a great governor.
Great governor knows exactly what he's doing.
Terrific job. He just announced that the schools will be open.
Governor's done a great job. Florida is down low now in the China virus.
He shut his state down very violently.
And you're open and you didn't close and you're just amazing, right? It's great.
One of the greatest governors in our country, and I know a lot of good ones, and I can tell you there's some really bad ones too, but this is a great one, Governor Ron DeSantis.
Okay, so there you have it. Trump goes to his old tactic of gaslighting. Now, again, someone, I went back and forth with someone on my blog, bradcarlson.org, when I wrote about this. Where I said, you know, and it's basically we're back to nothing matters. Nothing matters still. He can flat out gaslight and the cultists will go right along with it, even though they know deep down it's bullpucky, but they don't want to acknowledge the truth. So they'll continue to uplift Trump. And I had someone say, well, you know, come on, the facts change. I mean, what not given what we know now, obviously. It's a fluid situation. Opinions are going to change. Viewpoints are going to change. And I agree with that 100% because, like I said, when the country was being shut down in 2020, I acknowledge, okay, this is probably the most prudent thing to do given how much havoc this virus was causing. And I was genuinely concerned because I have relatives who live in Georgia and Florida and concerned that things were being opened up down there. And it turned out Governors Kemp of Georgia and DeSantis of Florida were making informed decisions, difficult decisions, and they took the shrapnel for them. And guess what? They turned out to be right, and both won re-election overwhelmingly in 2022 in an environment where any candidate that had the stink of Trump went belly up, basically. And like I say, I had this back and forth, and I said, you know what? It's one thing to go back and acknowledge, say, hey, we really didn't know, but now that we know more, okay, yeah, I would do things differently. But Trump doesn't do that. His ego is too frail to even acknowledge that he may have made a mistake, even though, again, in March or April of 2020, it didn't look like a huge mistake, a huge error in judgment. It didn't. But instead of saying that, he gaslights. And the cultists go right along with it. And it looks apparent as though the Republicans at large, the Republican Party as a whole, is going to do this. And Nora Rothman at National Review basically wrote about this very thing, about Donald Trump's COVID revisionism, about how he wants to have his cake and eat it too, and he may just get away with it. Again, I only have a couple of minutes, so I'll just read a couple of paragraphs. Donald Trump talks a lot. When he talks, he is inclined toward frankness, an unvarnished stream of consciousness that can sometimes approximate guilelessness. But while the former president does let his audiences in on his inner monologue, he is rarely candid. In Trump's efforts to revise the record he established in his last year in office, the former president reveals how little regard he has for his supporters' intelligence. Of all the political handicaps Trump has brought with him into his third run for the White House, COVID seems to weigh on him the heaviest. It isn't long into his prolonged disquisitions on his own tremendous record in the White House before the former president digresses into embittered reflections on how the pandemic interrupted his success. Sometimes Trump blames the virus for scuttling the greatest economy in history, his quote. At others, he takes credit for its second order effects. We've had the gasoline for the car down to $1.87 a gallon, he told a constituent during the other night's Fox News sponsored town hall, a rough figure attributable only to the cratering demand for transportation in April and May of 2020. His efforts to defuse the liability represented by COVID vary, but Trump's insecurity with the subject matter is constant. That conclusion is hard to avoid given the visible discomfort Trump betrayed when he was confronted by a supporter who sought reassurance that there would never be another shutdown. Trump did confirm that he would not support lockdown policies. And I never did, he added. I let the governors make their decisions. Lie. It is true that as the head of the executive branch of the federal government, Trump had no authority to impose lockdown-style policies on the states, but he sure did advocate for them, as we heard in that sound clip. So, again, supporters are just going to go along with it because they feel their guy has been wronged, and apparently we Donald Trump is not wrong. We can only fail him. We can only wrong him, apparently. That's kind of the general sentiment among these supporters, and they're basically implementing his own guilelessness. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call. You can weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Or you can check out our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page where we have a live stream of the broadcast up and running. Brad Carlson, the closer, back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
You're sort of stuck where you are, but in your dreams you can buy expensive.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
My dad has a cold, but also has high blood pressure. That's why I got him Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure for max strength daytime relief. Unlike some ordinary cold medicines, it's specially formulated for people like my dad. DayQuil High Blood Pressure is sugar-free, alcohol-free, and decongestant-free.
Vicks DayQuil High Blood Pressure. The daytime, non-drowsy, coughing, aching, fever, sore throat, cold, and flu for people with high blood pressure.
Like my dad.
Medicine. Use as directed.
Pro-life across America, the Billboard people.
My dad says I'm his pride and joy.
My mommy says I was her big surprise.
My mom says I'm her best helper.
I'm adopted. My dad says I was a gift.
That's right, kids. Each of you are a miracle and a blessing from God. Hello, my name is Angie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant and in need of confidential counseling, including alternatives to abortion or post-abortion assistance, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. Please help support our life-saving outreach.
A baby child is being 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. This is me, Brad Carlson. Thanks so much for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for comments or questions. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And, yeah, the live stream of the broadcast is still up and running at our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page. So you can check us out there and leave a comment or question in that comment thread if you'd like to as well. And as always, we thank you so much for tuning in. Continuing to talk about the 2024 presidential race, I read this at Semaphore. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Semaphore, S-E-M-A-F-O-R, semaphore.com. Apparently, they are. They wrote a story that the details of it seem a tad, unethical. Again, this is from Semaphore.com. Joe Biden's reelection campaign has begun organizing a series of off-the-record trips for top political reporters and editors to the team's headquarters in Wilmington, Delaware, and meet senior officials, including the campaign manager, deputies, and other high-ranking advisors for background briefings on campaign strategy. Okay, I mean, this seems so far pretty standard. You know, media will gather together and they'll listen to, you know, the president's campaign strategy and report it. I mean, that's newsworthy, right? Okay, so far so good. But Team Biden is also using it as an opportunity to tell them what they're getting wrong. Two people with knowledge of the situation told Semaphore that during meetings with reporters from outlets like the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others, campaign officials have invoked a coverage spreadsheet laying out areas where the team believes their reporting has fallen short. In particular, campaign officials have chafed at some of the coverage of former President Donald Trump, feeling that outlets are too focused on his legal troubles and haven't paid enough attention to some of his incendiary recent statements on the campaign trail. A source familiar told Semaphore that with the exception of its recent meeting with the Times, the campaign meetings had been substantive and productive, and that Biden staffers were scheduled to meet in the coming days with political reporting teams from ABC, NBC, Wall Street Journal, Fox, National Public Radio, Reuters, Bloomberg, and others in Wilmington. So basically, this is an airing of grievances by Team Biden saying, hey, Washington Post, New York Times, you know, you're covering our campaign and you're covering some aspects of our campaign, but this isn't what you're getting quite right. Now, I'm not a journalist, but if I know anything about journalism, I know that if a reporter disseminates a story, news story, what have you, they'll typically seek comment from individuals on whom they're reporting. In this case, if they're reporting on the Biden campaign, obviously they're going to want to reach out to members of Team Biden. Did they not do that here? Or did they just convey what they believe they saw? Now, there's a difference between editorializing and straight reporting. Editorializing means you give your opinion on what you're seeing. And obviously that's subjective, right? So this idea that media members would go to a president's reelection campaign team and be lectured on what they're writing and what they're getting wrong. If these media members do anything but tell these people to go pound sand, then they're basically a transcript service for a presidential reelection campaign. And how does that make them any different than state-run media? And the phrase that caught me is all of the recent meetings, except with the Times, New York Times, were substantive and productive. So if I'm reading that right, is it only the New York Times that has behaved in a somewhat ethical manner here by basically flipping these people the bird and saying, no, we stand by our reporters, our reporting. We don't reveal our sources. This is what sources tell us. This story was heavily sourced, and we're standing by it. And we're not going to acquiesce to report on what you think we should report on. And oh, by the way, Team Biden knows full well that Donald Trump's legal troubles have actually helped him in Republican polling to the point where he's basically the nominee already. I mean, I think it's pretty much a fait accompli that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee in 2024. And they know it's in large part to people, rightly or wrongly, and I say wrongly, propping up Trump on the Republican side because they feel he's been treated unfairly or unjustly. And in some cases, yeah, these indictments are silly and have no teeth to them, where I still think the mishandling of classified documents is a substantive charge against him, and that's going to be curious to see how that plays out. But Team Biden knows full well that reporting on Donald Trump's legal troubles is only going to increase the determination of Republican voters to ensure that he's the nominee, because he needs to get in there. You know what's amazing to me is I constantly hear these people say, well, we need to get Donald Trump into the White House so he can drain the swamp and overhaul overhaul the Justice Department. And I'm like, boy, all of these things that they're saying Donald Trump is going to do if he gets in the White House, isn't it a darn shame he hadn't been in the White House before? Oh, wait a minute. He has. So they're only discovering now that there's an issue with some of these bureaucracies, these bureaucrats, these systems? They're only discovering that now? And, well, this time for sure, it's really bad, and we'll take care of it. Remember the whole locker-up thing? And once he got elected, he said, never mind. We'll move on. But he had his supporters still stuck with him. So this is absolutely unbelievable that they're basically telling them, hey, you know, focus a little less on Trump's legal troubles, and why don't you start focusing on, you know, his actual presidential campaign? And you know what? I say that they should report on Trump, the candidate, because let's face it, it looks like he's going to be the nominee. So yeah, to report on actual aspects of his campaign, that shouldn't be a stretch. But this idea that they are going to kowtow and that Team Biden thinks that they can strong arm them into reporting on stories the way they feel they should be reporting on stories. Again, how is that different from state-run media? I've said it 100 times on this show. We are a long way from Woodward and Bernstein. Long way. If these reporters are basically going to kowtow to a presidential administration, particularly the re-election campaign, this is just absolutely stupefying. And again, I hope that we get some sort of, again, this story is pretty much buried by a lot of mainstream outlets because it doesn't really reflect very well upon them. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting to see if reporting is dramatically changed. Look, both things are newsworthy. Trump's legal issues, because let's face it, it's unprecedented for a former president and current presidential candidate and a presidential candidate that is likely to be the nominee. Yeah, these are unprecedented, and yeah, they should be reported on. But he's also a candidate, and I also agree that they should be reported on. I just don't think that a presidential administration, particularly in the United States of America, where we have a free press, should be telling them how they should report on this stuff. And again, this just smacks of the Biden administration colluding with the old ownership group of Twitter, saying, hey, there's some certain things floating around Twitter that we think you should squelch, you should suppress because it's fake news. Translation, news that doesn't reflect well on the Biden administration. So we only have about a minute or two left in this segment, but I do want to get to a call on line one. Dan in Minneapolis. Dan, I appreciate your patience. You are on the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Hi, Brad. I just wanted to say I really like your show.
Thank you.
I think you do a great job. But I, you know, and I think I agree with you about 85% of the time.
I'll take it.
Ronald Reagan said we should, you know, throw in with those kind of people. the part I disagree with you about is you jumping on Trump as much as you are doing. I think he is just far better than any Democrat in the field. And I think he is better right now than any Republican in the field, even with DeSantis. I just don't understand why you're down on him after he does have a pretty good record as a past president. I think when he was in office, some amazing things did get done, probably far more things that better America than Hillary Clinton would have ever done. And I think he's got quite a record to stand on. Does he say some things that make people go a little crazy? Yeah. But they just don't understand the man. He's not a politician. He's a businessman from New York. Okay.
Sure.
But he's a patriot. He believes in America. I think he fights for America. And we can see all the forces that are aligning against him, so he can never get into that presidential position again.
Right.
And sometimes I kind of feel like when you get down on him, you're just kind of siding with those people that are trying to stop him from getting back into office. And like I said, I agree with you a lot, okay? I don't understand why Democrats win a lot of the elections here in Minnesota. And this is kind of sliding off of Donald Trump a little bit, but I thought the people of Minnesota, you know, were pretty intelligent, but they support Democrats. And after what the Democrats are doing to this country, how they're destroying the country, how they're destroying our history, how they're tearing down statues, how they're, you know, trying to destroy our past, and they want to destroy everything so they can, quote, build back better, some kind of authoritarian government. I just don't understand why you're so hard on Trump. I just don't quite get it.
Thanks, Dan. Got to go to a break. Dan, and by the way, appreciate the call, Dan. Thanks very much. We've got to go to a break. I'll come back in the last segment. All very good comments, Dan. I will address those if you care to keep listening off the line, off the phone line. I will definitely address that. And we come back. One final segment on the broadcast with me, Brad Carlson. Go nowhere.
Salem Surround partners with your business to deliver custom digital marketing solutions. Surround your target audience wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review to keep your business top of mind. Learn more at minneapolis.salemsurround.com.
Are you tired of being told to hang in there on the Wall Street roller coaster because the market always comes back? Meanwhile, fees continue to be deducted from your account while your retirement withers away? Hi, I'm Mitch Lyons, best-selling author and star in a brand new Hollywood documentary called The Retirement Deception. In the film, you'll see how Wall Street's traditional retirement plans and 401ks have failed Americans. But more importantly, you'll discover the solution to protecting your hard-earned wealth and retiring successfully. You'll see how to grow money potentially double digits, beat inflation with increasing income, and when the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. So if you're over 50 and want a bigger, better, stress-free retirement, call to talk to a specialist and get a free copy of this brand new movie, The Retirement Deception. Call 800-578-3535. This is a $30 value, but when you call today, you get it completely free. Plus, I'll even cover shipping and handling, no credit card required. So don't delay, call right now. 800-578-3535. 800-578-3535. 800-578-3535.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-260-1792. 800-260-1792. 800-260-1792. That's 800-260-1792.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. And I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Turn the old barn into a pile of wood and rust.
It's me, Brad Carlson. One final segment on the broadcast. So Dan from Minneapolis called last segment. Says he agrees with me 85% of the time. And I get this a lot, by the way. I agree with you a lot, except for your Trump bashing. Why you always got to bash Trump? And, you know, it's a fair question, and I'm not making light of it at all. I feel like I convey my frustration with Trump on a weekly basis. Look, here's what my thing, Dan, and I hope Dan from Minneapolis is still listening because I promise I would explain this. And I don't have time to really get into it all, so I'll kind of boil it down to this. Multiple things can be true. They're trying to prevent Trump from ever running for president again because they say he's uniquely dangerous and a threat to our democracy, and I think that's bullpucky. Our republic can survive Trump. It can. And I've said this many times on the show, if you really think Trump is this grand threat to our republic, then why are you running against him, a walking cadaver who is basically trailing him in a lot of these meaningful polls? Put up a more solid candidate. Generic Democrat is polling better against Trump than is the incumbent president. So the Democrats don't really think he's that big a threat. It's just hyperbole because they think voters are dumb. Okay, and as I've said, folks, don't prove them correct. So I can acknowledge that they're unhinged and irrational when it comes to their discussing Trump. I agree some of these indictments that are brought against him are complete bullpucky. Can we say popcorn fart on the air? I just did. They're popcorn farts. I agree with that. And I also think he is the worst of Haley, DeSantis, and Trump. Trump polls the worst head-to-head against Biden. All of those things are true. And as a result, I think it should be someone other than Trump running for the GOP nomination. Again, I've aired my frustrations with Trump. I was done with him. He was dead to me after January 5th, 2021. Not January 6th, but January 5th. When the Republican senators out of Georgia in the runoff elections, Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue, lost their reelection bids in large part because Donald Trump sowed such distrust in the Georgia electoral process because he couldn't accept his own loss. He sowed distrust in the electoral process. As a result, thousands of Republicans stayed home, cost the Republicans the Senate majority, and all of the big government bloated spending that has happened during Joe Biden's first term, you can thank Donald Trump, because the Senate majority would have stopped it, but because we lost the Senate majority, a lot of that stuff was able to get through. Thankfully, not all of it. Joe Manchin stood tall. Democrat of West Virginia stood tall on some of it, but not all of it. So I was done with him after that. Okay, and then, of course, the riots, Capitol riots, happened the next day. Again, I'm not saying Trump fomented insurrection. In fact, I'm just saying it was a bunch of idiots that got all revved up, but it was in large part because of Trump convinced them of something that was not true, which was widespread fraud. Okay? Leave all that aside. Even if none of that happened and he wasn't dead to me because he sowed distrust in the Georgia electoral system, I would be against him because every dollar that goes to Donald Trump's campaign coffers, or the vast majority, is going to go toward legal expenses. So he's hardly going to be able to run a formidable campaign. That didn't stop him in 2016, okay? He still, you know, people did not want corrupt Hillary, so they were willing to give this guy a shot because he's not a typical politician, businessman. Okay, let's go for something different. And I don't deny Trump had some successes in his only term. Okay, 3 Supreme Court justices, solid picks. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act, huge, big time, a jolt to the economy. We had unprecedented, fantastic numbers. Economic numbers, economic successes, the Abraham Accords, okay, energy independence. I don't deny it, Dan. Great stuff that he accomplished. But his COVID policies were disastrous. And this idea that we should just forget that he shut down the country and them him, and then him just gaslighting about it, saying, well, no, I wouldn't shut down the country. The governor shut down their country. DeSantis shut down Florida. No, he didn't. That's a lie. Okay, so when I get this stuff, well, I know he says things that make people mad. Yeah, like lying and gaslighting? Yeah, that should make people mad because you can't trust someone who does that. And then I always get the comeback, well, Joe Biden is any better? No, he's not any better. That's why I'm not supporting him either. Now, I'm not yelling at you, Dan. I'm just giving the general sentiment because I get this a lot. Well, I agree with you, except for your Trump bashing. Well, here's the thing. If the vast majority of money that's raised on behalf of Trump goes to his legal bills, that's less money to try to keep the majority in the U.S. House, which as of this moment is razor thin. And it's also going to hamper the Republicans' opportunity to take back the Senate. So if the Republicans lose the House, very real possibility, and they don't get back the Senate, again, they may flip one seat. They'll probably flip West Virginia. But basically, it would be Trump's agenda is dead on arrival. Whatever his agenda is, I don't think he's coherently given an agenda. Trump's agenda would be dead on arrival on January 20th, 2025, and he'd immediately be a lame duck. You know why? Because Republicans will have lost the House. It'll only be a 50-50 split in the Senate. I mean, yeah, the vice president would break all ties, okay? But he couldn't get any agenda items done. And guess what? His first midterms, the 2026 midterms, Democrats, you'd see a blue wave, as what normally happens in the first term for the party opposite the sitting president. And then he'd have to serve out his final 2 years not being able to do anything because he'd have Democrat majorities in the Congress. Okay? Whereas if you get a different candidate who is well-financed and can just focus on campaigning instead of legal issues, all of a sudden you have resources to keep the majority in the House, take back the majority in the Senate, and you have a Republican presidency, and all of a sudden you have a lot more options. So long story short, I am against a Trump candidacy because his agenda would be dead on arrival day one. Folks, as always, I've enjoyed it. AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Godspeed, my friends. Have yourselves a blessed week. Stay with
Make getting out of debt your New Year's resolution. If you owe $10,000 or more in debt, before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call now at 800-533-6605 for a free consultation. For 17 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and a Christian-owned company. Don't get stuck in the endless cycle of payments. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Christian-owned Total Financial Freedom now at 800-533-6605. That's 800-533-6605. 800-533-6605.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There are no words to describe it. The isolation, the boredom, the loneliness. If you're wondering where your teenage son or daughter's spirit went, you're hardly alone.
The past year has been devastating, especially for them. But here's the good news. They might just find it again, playing high school sports. Workouts that stimulate, teammates and coaches that care, the sense of belonging so many of us have been missing lately. That's what school sports are all about. The sense of achievement is real, and the camaraderie is hard to beat. Coping with uncertainty is difficult, but school sports can help the teenagers in your family start feeling like themselves again. Encourage them to give it a try. High school sports, it's so much more than a game.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.